This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on the show today. This opening half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up for the Memorial Day weekend now, because part of that weekend will be enjoying Phillies baseball. The outstanding Scott Fransky now joins us. Scott, welcome back to the show. Great to have you with us.
Yeah, good to be here.
What do you like about this team so far? You've seen 2 months of it. What do you like about it?
Oh, man, what's not to like? I mean, yeah. All of it. I mean, they're doing everything well. The pitching's been unbelievable. I mean, in particular, the starting pitching. And it gives you that sense, you know, you have a chance to win every night. And that's a powerful feeling for a team to go in there and feel like every one of their guys, you know, 1 through 6, has given them a chance to win most nights. So, obviously, a really deep, talented team offensively, but I think the starting pitching has been the most pleasant surprise, just how good they've been top to bottom.
All right, so I want to get to one guy that has been with the club for a while, and that's Ranger Suarez. What has allowed him to be as effective as he has been so far?
I mean, in short, command. You know, he knows how to pitch. He's always known how to pitch, but it's his ability to execute with command that this year he's taken that to a very different level. And I think it's one that, you know, for whatever reason, he's been able to, you know, sort of complete the package, if you will. I mean, he's always had good stuff. He's always had a great mental attitude and ability to handle moments and you know, not get ahead of himself and not let one pitch affect the next. But I just think in general it's the overall command. I mean, the way he's able to dominate the strike zone right now and put hitters, you know, behind in the count right away. I just think it's right now he's as obviously as good as we've ever seen him be. And the idea that there's, you know, maybe more in the tank for him is a pretty fascinating idea to think where he could end up this season.
There's been a period of time they've had to navigate without Trey Turner and so forth. Some teams can't get over that. Some can. What's allowed the Phillies to get over that? What's Whit Merrifield meant is versatility.
Well, you know, and Witt's struggled, obviously. I think the thing that's been more impressive, number one, you found a pretty easy fit there offensively to put JT in the number two spot.
Yep.
You know, and he's, you know, caught fire at the right time, if you will. So I think that, and then from a you know, defensive standpoint, the sort of offense you're going to get out of shortstop, Edmundo Sosa, I think has been way more than anybody expected, to be quite honest, and has, you know, I mean, they figured he's a guy who's going to go in there and certainly not embarrass you defensively. He's going to, you know, hold up his end of the bargain and be just as good, if not better, than Trey in some respects defensively. But I think what he's done with the bat with Trey out has been pretty remarkable and you know, somewhat overlooked, I think. You know, I mean, this team is built around its stars, but it's depth that allows you to weather the storms through a 162-game season. And the Phillies' depth has really shown, whether it's, you know, Sosa or Cody Clemens or somebody like that. It's been big.
Well, you know what? We always talk about guys you acquire along the way. But Alec Bohm, 18 doubles, a triple, 5 home runs, 42 knocked in. Bryson Stott, 12 for 30, couple doubles, triple, couple home runs, and 12 runs knocked in the last 10. Those are two homegrown guys, you know, that they drafted in the first round. What have you seen from those two, and what does it tell you about their eye for talent when it goes to the draft?
Well, you know, I mean, those are two guys that needed out of the draft, no doubt, because, you know, they had a pretty good run there of no success in the upper rounds of the draft. So the fact that those two guys are doing what they're doing now, I think that's certainly a feather in the cap for the organization. What they're doing is they're being aggressive in the strike zone. You know, they're both guys that came with the reputation of understanding the strike zone. You know, knowing what's a ball, knowing what's a strike, and I think they were maybe patient to a fault in some respects at times over previous seasons. You know, Bohm had a little bit of a breakout last year with the RBIs, and you know, Stott was a big jump forward. But I think we're seeing an even further evolution of those guys in that. You know, it's like the other night, Stott. You know, he's willing to let a 2-0 pitch go by that's in the zone, middle in. But he's not willing to let the 3-1 pitch in the same spot go by, and he hits the home run. And I think teams, you know, they for a while they knew that they could get ahead of him quickly. Now, he can get a 2-strike hit, no doubt, but that's also something that kind of saps your power and your slugging percentage because, you know, you're kind of on your heels a little bit, and you're just trying to put the ball in play sometimes, which he's very good at. But I do think we're seeing now the sort of the addition of a guy who is going to take his walks, but he's also going to be aggressive in the strike zone.
Phillies are 34-14. They are 27-2 when they out-hit their opponents. Now, part of that goes back to what you said in the original answer. The pitching is doing the job and keeping the number of hits down. But what have you seen offensively where they're just out-hitting people and creating chances?
I mean, it's just deep. It's just a deep lineup. I mean, there's not many holes. And what you get with a deep lineup is that one guy has a bad night, but other guys are having a good night. It doesn't allow you any breaks as a pitcher to say, oh, well, this is the soft part of the lineup. You know, I'm gonna get through this. There's not a real soft part of this lineup. You know, there's definitely guys who have struggled and maybe could be better or whatever, but I think all in all, this is a club that 1 through 9 is going to give you an at-bat. And that's hard on a pitcher. You know, that's tough on a pitcher to have to grind like that. And we've seen it over and over again where good pitchers, pitchers that are hot, that are throwing the ball well, they come to face the Phillies, and they're, you know, at 85 pitches in 5 innings, you know, and they've had to really, really work for every single out. So I think that's what it really boils down to is the depth 1 through 9. There's not an at-bat for a pitcher to take off.
Scott, how have you felt about the bullpen part, both setup and the ability to get out of the game?
That's been good. I mean, you know, they haven't had to be overworked. You know, really, since the very beginning of the season, they've been used moderately. Rob Thompson has enough arms that he feels are leverage arms with big stuff that can, you know, get big inning, big outs late in a game. So I think it's allowed you to not have to rely on, you know, one or two guys every single night. And I think that makes everybody better in the end, you know, over the long run. And it may be something that we really see bear fruit. You know, later in the season, other teams might be struggling with their pen or you know, grinding away to get every single out. And the Phillies might be a little fresher, you know, come August and September. I mean, time will tell. But I think the big thing with the bullpen is that the fact that they've been moderately used to this point bodes well for the future.
Scott, I know when they've made acquisitions, what's impressed me is not just the quality of player. I mean, you have to have that. But it seems like they brought in a personality type. Bryce Harper's a personality type. Kyle Schwarber's a personality type. Brandon Marshall, personality type. I mean, good clubhouse leadership guys. What has that component meant? And are you sensing the Phillies are looking for that component to go with the talent?
Oh, Oh, without a doubt. I mean, that's to them, that's important. I mean, Dave Dombrowski is he's a really hands-on GM, and it's a big difference, a big departure from what we saw in previous years. But he's with the club every day. You know, he wanders through the clubhouse. He wanders through batting practice. He knows how these guys interact and what, you know, what leadership means for a club and what pulling on the same end of the rope means for the club and what means what doing the things the right way means. Absolutely. It's a focus of theirs when they, you know, if they go out into the free agent market or, you know, whether that's a high profile free agent like a Trey Turner or whether that's a, you know, sort of under the radar, maybe 6-year minor league free agent type guy. You know, they're mm-hmm. they're looking for players that want to win, that they feel like sort of meet that criteria. Beyond just being a good player and athlete with skills, they want a guy who is going to fit in that clubhouse.
All right. So every team takes on its own personality, and I'll ask coaches when I do interviews, football, basketball, like at some point, you know, what kind of personality are they taking on? What's the personality of this team after watching them for a couple months plus spring training?
It's one that believes every day there's a game to be won, and there's a game every day that matters. And if you have a game it's not that they're, you know, if they let one get away, that bothers them. Mm-hmm. I don't know that you can say that about previous Phillies teams, especially early in the season. I mean, I'm not going to say they took days off, but what I'm saying is that, you know, the losses now still eat at them. And I'm not sure you could, you know, and they're 20 games over 500. They lose one game, they're upset by it. They have a bad at-bat, they're upset by it. Because they know, they've seen it in the postseason, they know every at-bat matters. So they take every one of them seriously. And I think that's the, you know, maybe the hallmark of this club right now is the fact that every pitch, every play matters.
You know, it's 162 games, and you can tell right away which one's, it's one of 162. It just doesn't seem that's what this team is. This team thinks every game is a big game.
Absolutely, and that's huge. I mean, that's a mindset that, comes from, you know, years of working together and these guys understanding one another knowing what each other is about. But you're right, it's a mindset that really matters, and again every game they win now is one less they got to win later.
That's exactly right.
They all count the same in the end. They're all one win or they're all one loss. So I do think there's a sense that that they understand that the more games they win now, the better off they're going to be later on, and every one of them matters.
I know they all matter to you, too. Scott, thanks so much. Really appreciate the time you gave us today, especially on a game day with the defending world champions in town.
My pleasure. Always great to chat with you.
Scott Fransky, no question, one of the best in the business. No question about that. Great to have him on the show today. We also have Neil Kulong, Mark Wogenrich today. Yes, they did pass Beaver Stadium. It was a 26-2 vote with 3 abstentions, about what I thought it would be, close. So I'm going to break down a little bit of it for you. I don't have all the details. I'm getting more details as time goes, and unfortunately I'm able to get some, you know, more details, which helps. But we will talk about that in a moment. And then Mark Wogenrich will break it down here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
Sunbury Motors Ford and North 4th Street Auto Plaza is having their spring SUV sales of the SMC has 17 of the iconic 2024 Ford Bronco Sports, and they are slashed up to $5,500, and they start from just $28,435. Sunbury Motors has the fuel-efficient Ford Escape discounted up to $4,000 and priced from only $29,935. Plus, qualified buyers get 0% financing. Choose from 28 new Ford Explorers, and SMC has them reduced reduced to the lowest price ever offered. Just $39,770. Submarine Motors has the roomy and reliable 2024 Ford Edge, discounted $4,500, and they are priced from only $37,565. With 0% financing for 48 months, Sunbury Motors is a fifth-generation Ford dealership, proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915. SMC is where you want to be in May for your next new SUV.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up for Memorial Day now. At Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. All right, so Beaver Stadium, the number will not go past $700 million. They already had $70 million already approved, so today was for $630 million. All right, so this is what you will get out of it besides seating. 15% more restrooms, 24 new elevators, 12 new escalators, and 4-plus stair towers. So again, 24 new elevators, 12 new escalators, and 4-plus stair towers. Okay, 102 new point-of-sale stations, a 70% increase. New suites, addition of loge seating boxes, addition of a broadcast level, and adding a press an added press box capacity. This is all on the west side. They say they're going to have a front door experience through a new welcome center at the stadium. It would be a 21,000-square-foot facility for events and other uses. Okay? Again, the ability to generate revenue out of it. Penn State, of course, looking to raise money. They would like to raise $134.3 million for the project through a number of avenues. According to the document, Founder Suite donations, $80 million. One-time capital donation, $1.3 million. Philanthropy naming opportunities, $50 million. So in other words, if you want the naming opportunity for, say, the Penn State broadcast booth, you can do that. Right? That's your naming opportunity, where they put the name, your name, your family name, whatever you want to put on that particular door. I see it everywhere. Like, for example, at Michigan State, he may have played basketball here, but I'll walk down the hallway in the Michigan State football broadcast booth and I go by the Steve Smith box. You know, Steve Smith played basketball, he's a great player at Michigan State and in the NBA, but he's donated his money to help out with both football and basketball. So that's what they're looking to do with $134.3 million. So that's what we learned about the project. The vote was 26-2 with three abstentions. And that's how it turned out. It turned out, somebody asked the other day how many votes I thought they would get, and I said 26. So it's probably pretty close on that. There are certain elements that there'll be an increase in revenue in a few areas, and then of course then there's the $20 million. You have to be kidding me, really? We have to come up with that number, which is part of this settlement, right? Which is going to be important. All right, so there will be two areas. One is the $20 million. The other is because of the settlement, slightly reduced payments of the NCAA distribution for basketball because of the settlement. Because that's the back pay one. The increases will be in the TV contracts because, as I've mentioned 100 times in the show, it's backloaded. This year's distribution for the Big Ten was $60 million. That's going to go up every year. Number two, they ended up doubling their local radio contract, and it's not a small contract.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour is being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We have a wide variety of insurance needs, auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle. Somewhere in that list, you have probably a few of those, at least a couple of them. They'll manage all of that for you, do everything they can to save you money. Customer service means everything to them at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf and online at sunburymotors.com. Okay. So Beaver Stadium, they gave the thumbs up today, 26 yes votes, 2 no's, 3 abstentions. And so it moves forward. There are some trustees that brought up questions about the money part of it. And I had a couple of people say, well, what do you think of that? And I said, well, my goodness, that's their job as a trustee. I have no problem. It's okay to ask questions. It's okay to question something. Right? Because if you question something or ask questions, you then have to then give those who are advocating for it the opportunity to tell you why. Okay. So there's nothing wrong with asking questions and questioning something. None. I have no problem with that at all. If it makes the meeting longer, it makes the meeting longer. But at least, you know, especially something of this magnitude. I understand that. So I have no problem with asking questions. I have no problem with anybody who voted no on it. Okay? None. They're entitled to their vote. They're on the board. Okay? So, especially those that were elected, they earned their spot on the board through constituency. The idea when you make a capital expansion like this is, can you make it back? And there are those who are questioning whether you can make it back. But say you do a reduced number. We're going to do $400 million. Okay. Say you did that. This is fine. And then 5-6 years later, you say, you know what? We really could have used that other three, you know, in this case, the other $230 million to really... Well, it's not going to be $230 million 5, 6, 7 years from now. It's going to be over $300 million, 320, because of what the inflationary scale happens to be and what the interest rate scale is right now. Now, can we sit here and hope that interest rates go down? We can hope that. So... money being brought in. I already outlined what their goals are on the fundraising part of it. I know we'll talk to Mark Wogenrich about this, and then we have Neil Kulong this the next hour. So, again, what they want, 15% more restrooms. One thing you want to do whenever you have anything, I don't care if it's the Jordan Center, Pagula, Beaver Stadium, the Link, okay, Acrisure Stadium, PNC Park, Citizens Bank Park, whatever. In today's world, you need to make everything as relatively easy as possible for your fan base. You want them, you can't control the result of a game. You can't control that. But you can control at least the experience of it. So, I went to a Pirates-Red Sox game last month. And I parked in the garage across the river. Easy. I walked across the Clemente Bridge. Easy. I walked straight in, and I think I walked in like left, center field, left center field, walked straight in. No line, walked straight in. Had my ticket all set on my phone, straight in. Right? Found my seats. Went to the wet restroom first because we drove down there. Found the restroom first. Line? No. Big restroom, in, out, no problem. Found the seats. No problem. Let's get something to eat. Went up to, they had Chickie and Pete's there. Went there, ordered it on the kiosk. 5 minutes later, I had my food. Wow. Okay. During the game, had to use the restroom. No problem. During the game, decided to get one more thing to eat in the seventh inning. Right. No issue. Right. Game is over. Left. Got in the car. Drove back. I have zero complaints. Zero about my experience at PNC Park. None. Right. Now, it turns out the team I was rooting for won the game. But the experience part of it, No issues. So you need to do whatever you can to make the experience of Beaver Stadium, Jordan Center, Pagula, Rec Hall, whatever it may be, that kind of experience. Like, for example, if you're going to Rec Hall, here's a problem with Rec Hall. Bathrooms. Okay? It's a problem. It's a building built in 1927. Okay. And they've added something over the years, but it's an issue. You go to a wrestling match there, it's like, okay. Right. So, back to Beaver Stadium. You're going to have 15% more restrooms. The last thing you want is a line. Because you're standing there in the line, waiting your turn, and you feel like, okay, I'm missing the game. Or, maybe it's halftime. I'm missing halftime. I'm missing the game. I'm missing a chance to get the concession stand because I have to stand here. I didn't choose to go to the bathroom now. I have to go to the bathroom now. Right? So you want it to move with some ease, especially in a stadium that's got to have over 100,000 people in it. So 15% more restrooms. Good start. Getting in and out. Yeah, I talked about the experience of walking straight in, ticket ready to go. Well, okay, you got 24 new elevators, 12 new escalators, 4+ stairwell towers. Again, the ability to move people in and out with as much ease as possible. Okay, I want to be able to go to concessions. Well, 102 new point-of-sale stations. That's a 70% increase in the stadium. Hopefully that makes life for you easier. Now, suites, now we're up to the part where the suit lives, Todd. Suites. Yeah. And screams suit level to it.
Oh, I thought you meant the concession stands.
Oh, no, they bring it to him.
Oh. Right.
additional load seating boxes, and also the addition of a broadcast level and added press box capacity. Now, that part has nothing to do with the fans. It has to do with, you know, obviously, the coverage of the game. Right, so that's part of it. Now, where do you get the money from? So now let's talk about money. All right. I know we talk a lot about money on the show. But Founders Suite donations, they won $80 million. Okay. Now, how spread out that is and so forth, I don't know. But $80 million. One-time capital donation, $4.3 million. And then philanthropy naming opportunities, $50 million. Okay. So the Kevin Herr Broadcast Suite. It's a nice ring to it, don't you think?
I assume you can't afford the whole suite. Are you going to sponsor yourself a chair, a memorial chair?
Well, I don't want a memorial.
Well,
anything.
Maybe a memorial's a little early.
I don't want a memorial anything. It's like, come on, man. I'm still sitting here. Oh, goodness gracious. But, I mean, those would be, and I gave the example in the previous half hour, the great basketball player at Michigan State, Steve Smith, who carved out an NBA career, had money, and he's donated not only to basketball, but he has in the press box, which is also a luxury box, all right, he has a suite with his name on it. Okay. So, there you go. So there's that part. So now let's get to outside entity parts. The new number that came out for the Big Ten was $60 million distributed. 12 of the schools got a little bit more than $60 million. Rutgers and Maryland got $57 and $58 million apiece because they're still paying money back to the conference. All right. But $60 million. As I have mentioned maybe 50 to 100 times on the show, but worth revisiting here, is the TV contracts with Fox, CBS, and NBC are backloaded. So this $60 million number is one of the lower numbers that they're going to see in the next 6 years from the TV contracts. That's one. Next, they put together a brand new radio deal with Playfly. Learfield did a great job. Now Playfly, at the end of next week, will take over officially. It is not a small deal. It is an eight-figure-per-year deal. Okay? It's an eight-figure-per-year deal. Right, just to give everybody an idea, I'll tell you what LSU's deal is. LSU's deal is $15 million per year. Okay? Just so you know, Penn State's is more. I'm not going to give you Penn State's number, but just to let you know, okay, LSU's $15 million, Penn State's more. So now that's going to get added because that's slightly more than doubles the number they had before. So those are two pluses on the revenue side. The negatives on the revenue side are going to be the $20 million per year they'll have to come up with once this settlement comes to fruition. Oh, and let me give you the third revenue one. I apologize. There was a third revenue increase, and that is the college football playoff, which was $7.7 million last year. We'll probably be close to the same neighborhood this upcoming year and the year after, but then after that, we'll go up about 2 to 2.5 times. So it'll be about in the $15 to $20 million range per year because of the new $1.3 billion contract that starts in 2026. Okay? So those are the revenue pluses coming forward beyond the donation part. All right, the negatives in terms of the financial part will come in two primary areas. One will be the biggest one. That's the $20 million per year they have to come up with for student-athlete payments. Now, my question is going to be, and when I talk to Pat about this, I'll ask him about this. Right now, you get cost of attendance, and that's part of your scholarship. And for Penn State, that ends up being with 833 student athletes, you know, and then some of them are in quarters, tenths, halves, you know. About 2 to 3 million in expenditures every year on cost of attendance at Penn State. My question is, with this 20 million, does cost of attendance go away? Like, in other words, so that, I mean, that makes only a dent in the 20 million. But if it's technically 17 million more than you're paying out now, because that would be eliminated, I mean, that's a question I would like to have answered, right? As to whether that part would go away in the settlement, whether cost of attendance would go bye-bye. I don't know until you ask, because it makes a dent. And the other one will be slightly reduced payments of the NCAA tournament distribution across the board for every sport. And the NCAA, now there's been one increase in the NCAA distribution, and that is on the women's basketball and rest of sports side. That's a $115 million a year deal. And the previous deal, I think, was 60, wasn't it? And $65 million of it is women's basketball to be distributed. This is the ESPN deal. It's a $920 million 8-year agreement, exclusive rights to 40 championships, including the women's basketball tournament. So you'll get more money from that, but you're going to have a reduction. Okay, it's the previous 14-year deal with ESPN. This is a 300% increase. Yeah, the deal covers 21 women's sports, 19 men's sports. It added in track and field, men's gymnastics, Division II, Division III volleyball, basketball championships, and men's Division II and Division III basketball championships. So it's a 300% increase over where they had before. That's probably, like, between that and the NCAA men's basketball tournament, that's where you're going to see a reduction, because that's part of the 10-year agreement that will come out of this settlement on back pay. That's back pay, because that's the other part of this lawsuit. So the old deal was 12 years, $500 million. Okay. So we know this is $115 per year. So the old deal was, what did I say, $500 million?
Yeah.
All right, which comes out to $42 million a year. This goes up to $115. But see, the money that you're going to have to pay per year is going to come out of that number, along with the men's tournament, obviously. So you have a little slight reduction there, because 60% of it is going to be, I think 40% of what the NCAA will come up with in the settlement is out of reserves. The other 60% will be from the NCAA tournament numbers. Okay. So those are the two areas where you'll see, like, okay, need to come up with money for that, or you're not going to get as much money as you thought or hoped for. And then the other part, you know, in the 20 million part, which everybody's going to have to do. So I gave you the three areas where revenue will increase. I gave you what they're looking for in donations and their goals on each of the areas on donations, and I gave you areas of decrease. I think it's a fair look at it. So, oh, Gary Cohen's going to give the seat in the hall commencement speech. How about that? The voice of the Mets. Now, I've never been around Gary with the Mets. I've always been around Gary whenever Penn State plays Seton Hall. And Gary's a great guy. But he's been calling their games since 2003. Good for him. That's great. I love it. All right, next half hour, Neil Coolong, and then we have Mark Wogenrich on Beaver Stadium, final half hour. So at least we gave you some of the pros and cons here on the money part of it. Increases, areas where they've got to come up with more. Okay. And go from there. But I got to, you know, the addition today was the additional $630 million. And again, those who have questions about the money, you're absolutely more entitled to have questions and to ask them, to get answers. That's fine. No issue with that at all. Okay? But, you know, they're going to spend the money on this. And, look, it's long overdue. It should have been done. This should have been done, to be honest with you, 6 to 10 years ago. And the price tag would not be the same as what it is now. And at the time, did I say on the broadcast over and over again on this show, they needed to do it sooner rather than later because the price tag was going to increase? I said that repeatedly. Well, let me put it this way. You don't do this now, the price tag is going to be even greater if you wait 5 years. So there you go. All right. We'll take a break. Come back. Again, you invest to what your expectation is. If your expectation is to be the best, right, you invest that way. If your expectation is mediocrity, I'll never forget when Ohio State renovated its stadium. This is back in the early 2000s. Remember taking a torturous trip up and down the freight elevator to get to the press box. Like, how many more minutes are we going to be in here? I remember what was done. I mean, I think the number they put in was like, and this is in the 2000s, it was like $160 or $180 million. And I looked around and I said, they got a lot for their $180 million. So it looks like $180 million. Makes a difference. It makes a difference. All right, take a break. This half hour being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn what they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
All right, so there you go. So the winterization part is been moving forward. That was part of the $70 million. The original today was the additional $630 million. And again, and it's moving forward. The vote was 26-2 with 3 abstentions along the way. I thought Pat Kraft, in terms of presentation part, I thought his presentation was fabulous today. Now, whether you agree with the money part of it, all right, you're entitled to have a lot of questions about it. Just ask, make sure that you've got things clarified. I have nothing wrong with clarifying and asking questions. That's no issue at all.
I would prefer my $600 million projects not get rubber stamped.
Well, and there were questions today. And this wasn't one where the meeting started at 10:30 and it was done at 10:35. Yeah, they were there for a couple hours.